Doctor Who Short Trips, The King of the Dead by Ian Atkins, read by Sarah Sutton. Once again, the TARDIS had materialised. Once again, the Doctor had glanced at a couple of dials on the control console and announced airily, "London 1982, conditions normal. There you are, Tegan." Then he'd put his hat on and gone outside, expecting them to follow. Tegan looked at Nyssa. "You'd think he'd brought us here on purpose. He's missed his target by 30 years. Nyssa gave a long, suffering sigh as they left the console room. Immediately, they were on a small wooden stage, in what looked like a packed and smoky nightclub, receiving a round of applause. Tegan got a brief glimpse of the Doctor's appalled expression before he rallied.
"Bow, both of you,"
the Doctor said through his new smile.
"This way they might just believe for a second-rate magic trick."
The three travellers bowed through the short-lived applause and then turned to go back inside, but several young people in black clothing had appeared and were blocking the way to the TARDIS. From the shadows at the side of the stage, a thin figure in a dated suit gestured frantically to them. With their options distinctly limited, Tegan led the way off stage. As they disappeared into the wings, the man in the suit said,
"Wait here, Doctor. Julian will want to talk to you."
A long-haired, angry-looking woman was clambering over coiled ropes and scenery flats to get to them. The Doctor became vaguely aware of Tegan and Nyssa being ushered further into the shadows, and then the woman was upon him.
"Who the hell are you? And how on earth did you pull that stunt on stage?"
The Doctor's winning, welcoming smile suddenly faltered as a thought occurred to him. How did that man know my name?
"I'm the King's equerry, Joshua Trebunk,"
the thin man said stiffly, as he hurried Tegan and Nyssa along a narrow corridor, which had been decorated to look like something from a grand palace. He sounded older than he looked, and as he walked, he fiddled with his thin, waxed moustache. Every now and then, a huddle of masked figures would stop to let them pass.
"The King?"
Tegan queried with dismay.
"I thought this was the 1980s.
"What's wrong?" Nyssa asked her.
"If we're where the Doctor said, then Queen Elizabeth II's on the throne."
"Well, it wouldn't be the first time he's got it wrong." Abruptly, their escort stopped. He turned and looked closely at the two young women, then glanced over his shoulder to check they were unobserved. Suddenly, his voice was softer and younger sounding.
"Yes, Queen Elizabeth, that's right."
Tegan took a deep breath.
"But you said..."
"You don't know where you are, do you?"
"Please, could you tell us?"
said Nyssa.
"This is the first night of the King of the Dead."
Realisation dawned for Tegan.
"You mean this is the play? I tried to get tickets for this. The waiting list was months long."
She turned to Nyssa, who looked lost.
"They bought out a huge building and turned the whole thing into a stage reflecting London of the 1930s. Royal apartments, servants' quarters, even a nightclub. You wander around and explore any way you want. For most of it, you're pretty much on your own, so you get all these little interactive encounters to yourself. Meanwhile, the story goes on around you. It's all based on the King's abdication crisis of the 1930s, only in this version, there's murder thrown in."
She turned to the suited man.
"You're one of the actors, right?"
Suddenly, Joshua's character changed again, and he clapped his gloved hands, his voice carrying its original timbre of authority.
"Come along. The King cannot be kept waiting."
"Are you one of that Edinburgh fringe lot?"
Gillian raged, leading the Doctor through a padlocked door and up a flight of stairs. As they moved backstage, ghostly sound effects and discordant music echoed in the distance.
"I know we're not viewed as legitimate theatre here, but at least we're not some sort of guerrilla magic act."
The Doctor considered this.
"Well, I've been called worse. How did you pull that stunt with the police box? I think in the circumstances you can waive any magic circle discretion. My stage, my rules."
"Oh no, I'd be happy to tell you. All you need is a working knowledge of Artron energy, a background in multidimensional mechanics, and about 10 years in a lecture theatre."
"Are you trying to tell me that was real?"
"As you've said yourself, it would be a good trick to pull off."
"But it materialised out of nowhere."
The Doctor stopped walking.
"If it's any comfort, we're only here by accident. We were heading for the 2012 Olympics."
"Oh, don't tell me. You travel in space and time. Well, I've heard it all now."
They came to a door marked, "No entry, staff only," and Gillian led the way through it. The room beyond was small, windowless and hot, the only features being a bank of TV monitors with chairs in front of them. Two people sat hunched in concentration, cumbersome headphones leaving them unaware they had company. The Doctor eyed the arrangement with interest before turning to Gillian.
"So this is where it's all stage managed from, is it?"
Gillian nodded.
Most of the play runs itself, but some of the actors carry out improvised routines, and sometimes they need a nudge.
What's happening there?
The doctor frowned at the picture on one of the monitors. Gillian startled one of the staff as she tapped him on the shoulder.
Martin, what's going on in room 247?
The tiny monochrome image showed a man in a mask, cowering back against a panelled wall.
The mask means he's an audience member, Gillian told the doctor. Martin, get one of the attendants to check on 247. Nothing's supposed to be going on there. It looks as if it might be medical.
Within minutes, Martin had conveyed the attendant's reply.
It is medical. Chap seems to have had some sort of seizure.
Gillian's face grew dark.
Damn.
She turned to the doctor.
Did I hear Patrick say you're a medical man? Ah.
Joshua clapped his white-gloved hands again.
Will you please hurry up? Punctuality beats in the heart of a royal household.
Tegan and Nyssa struggled to catch up as he strode round yet another corner. Nyssa said,
This isn't like the theatre on Traken. It feels more like a sport.
They turned the corner and almost crashed into Joshua. He was looking at them in horror, his arms clasped across himself. Tegan could tell instantly that he'd changed again.
You two. You're the doctor's companions, aren't you? You shouldn't be here. You have to get out now.
Why, Joshua?
Nyssa asked. The man frantically shook his head.
Not Joshua. Joshua's not real. I'm Patrick. You have to go. Get away from here. Forget the doctor. Leave the theatre before it's too late.
Tegan frowned.
How do you know who we are?
The two women watched as a range of anxious expressions flitted across the actor's face. For the longest time, there was a look of guilt, of being caught out. And then he suddenly straightened, clapped his hands and glared. Joshua had returned.
Will you two come along?
Room 247 had been decorated as a bathroom, with antique fixtures and mirrors spotted with age. Only the modern lighting in the corners spoiled the period effect. There on the floor before the doctor and Gillian was the figure of a man. He was crouched in a ball, his mask twisted askew, half revealing regular features that bulged with fear.
Hello?
The doctor asked softly. At his voice, the man scuttled backwards with an inhuman cry of distress. Gillian frowned.
What did he say?
The man's lips moved again.
Screech. Terrible screeching,
he hissed, shaking as if sobbing. The doctor followed his panicked gaze upwards and then froze. His voice, when it came, was low.
Gillian, listen to me carefully. I want you to back very, very slowly out of here.
What?
Her own voice was loud, sharp. Her eyes followed the doctor's wincing gaze up to a shape in a corner of the ceiling. Glassy, bulging and transparent, it was unmistakably the outline of a large spider. As it gave a tiny start of motion, the ceiling behind it seemed to twist and refract the electric light. It was as if the thing was growing out of the fabric of the building itself. The sound it made when it moved was
screech.
Ah, Joshua, there you are.
As the man approached, Joshua gently guided Tegan and Nyssa to one side before returning his attention to the newcomer. He bowed low with an oily purr of,
Your Majesty.
The king was not as tall as Joshua, and although he was clearly supposed to be older, the illusion was not helped by some unevenly applied grey dye in his otherwise black hair. He wore an elaborate crown, which to Tegan's eyes was like something out of a pantomime. As she watched, the king took the crown from his head and ran it through his hands.
It is so very, very heavy, Joshua,
he sighed, and then he dropped it. Both men watched the circlet roll towards Tegan and Nyssa, effectively bringing them into the play. Oblivious to this, Nyssa picked it up, running it through her hands in much the same way as the king had done. She stared at him.
Did you design this?
The actor flustered briefly under her intense gaze, seeking out Patrick cum Joshua and then looking back with a shrug.
Nyssa, it's part of the play,
Tegan hissed.
Look at the patterns in the metalwork, Tegan,
Nyssa whispered back.
It's a perfect representation of a void balancing algorithm.
My father had been working on something like this for years.
She stroked the metal.
I thought the doctor said Earth was primitive.
Joshua carefully took the crown back and returned it to the king.
It is just a crown. Just a crown,
the king repeated mournfully, trying to get back into his role. He took a breath, shot an uncomfortable look at Nyssa, and then continued.
Scritch! Scritch! Scritch!
The crouching man gibbered. The doctor carefully placed a hand on his shoulder, then glanced up at the shape in the ceiling to see if it had moved again.
Tell me more, he ordered in an undertone. He's come to get me. Come to finish the job.
You've seen this before. The man slowly looked up at the doctor.
In 73, when we were patrolling.
Patrolling? You were in the army?
The doctor struggled to hear the low, hurried reply.
Guarding some crash remains.
Crash? The doctor pondered. Do you mean a plane?
No. Spaceship.
Realization dawned.
Then you must have been with UNIT.
The man nodded fearfully up at the doctor, who frowned and then reached out to touch something on his temple.
What's that mark?
Asked Gillian, leaning in from behind the doctor. The doctor waved her into silence.
What's your name?
Blank eyes looked back.
Do you know who you are?
I am.
The man looked around furtively, as if he might find the answer somewhere in the room.
You remember being a soldier?
Gillian offered.
Yes, the doctor agreed.
Where were you serving? What was the mission? What did you find?
Just bits. There weren't much left. They called for the doctor, but he was away. We had to keep guard until they could take it into the vault.
There came a sudden flurry of noise from above. Tegan looked around the corridor, frowning.
What was that noise?
The actor playing the king tried to hide his irritation.
I didn't hear anything.
But Tegan's question had made Patrick twist nervously like a fretful dog.
There was something,
Nyssa agreed.
A sort of scratching?
No!
Patrick's retort was practically a scream. Just then, Tegan's eye was drawn to a movement above them. But as she looked up, whatever it was vanished. She had a fleeting impression of something glassy, bulging with scrabbling legs, and then it was gone.
Did you see that?
She asked. Without warning, Patrick snarled and launched himself at her. She fell back heavily. Patrick turned to the stunned king and Nyssa.
They always lie!
He raged. And then, to their astonishment, he ran away. Nyssa helped Tegan to her feet.
Are you all right?
I'll live. What was that all about?
Keeping one eye on the ceiling, the doctor stood back from the frightened man and whispered to Gillian.
Aspects of his mind are missing, but what he can remember all seems rather random. We need to get him to a hospital.
This wasn't what Gillian wanted to hear.
Are you sure they'll be able to help?
I don't know, but it will be better for him than here. Quietly does it, I think.
Together they brought the man to his feet. As he looked up at the ceiling, his face stretched with horror as if seeing the thing for the first time.
Screech!
He bellowed. The creature turned, legs thrashing with ugly activity, unleashing a fury of sound like broken glass grinding together. As Gillian cried out, it leapt at the doctor's head. Nyssa stumbled to a halt, exhausted. In the pursuit of Patrick, she'd somehow lost Tegan and the king. What's more, after tumbling past a throng of audience members, all of them unhelpfully standing their place to watch, she'd lost sight of Patrick. Now she was in a small office, decked out as yet another location for the play, this one scattered with a detailed bric-a-brac of props. Here it was sheets of paper, all bearing the faces of old men, which had been composed entirely of typescript characters. As with much of the play, Nyssa had no idea what to make of it.
Too soon. Too soon,
came a small, timid voice. Nyssa moved over to a wooden desk and found her quarry hidden in the darkness beneath.
Joshua?
There was no reaction.
Patrick?
The man's pale face lifted towards her.
Too soon. They're too strong. We're in danger.
From what?
She tried to soften her voice, but the whole charade was beginning to unnerve her.
From revenge,
Patrick said. He licked his lips.
Revenge that will make heroes of the hidden.
Is this still the play?
He said nothing.
Patrick, I don't understand. What revenge? Tell me.
As the actor stood up, she noticed a sheen of sweat on his skin. He was trembling, one eye twitching where he rubbed it.
Why should I tell you? What would a child like you know about revenge?
The scornfulness of his remark bit sharply. Images flashed through Nyssa's mind. Her father's smile the last time he'd bid her goodnight on Traken. That same smile cruelly distorted on another world in another time. The landscapes of her planet so beautiful. And finally the spreading stain of darkness on a starfield as it was wiped from existence. Nyssa's fists clenched. She could tell Patrick a thing or two about revenge.
What's going on?
Somehow, Tegan had found her way to room 247. Anxious and out of breath, her voice rang loud in the bathroom, bouncing off the tiled walls and antique mirrors. The doctor lay unconscious on the floor, a long-haired woman listening intently to his chest. Seeing Tegan, she stood up.
He was attacked. An interesting experience,
the doctor said, suddenly opening his eyes.
But I'm not sure I'd recommend it.
He sat up.
Ah, Tegan, Gillian, have you two met?
His gaze went upwards to a now empty ceiling.
Where did it go?
Gillian struggled to answer.
It just sort of pulled away once we'd got that man out of here.
He mused, quickly getting to his feet.
Our visitor is quite the contradiction. There's a hive mind there. Or perhaps more properly, a herd mind. As they've only got a small intelligence. And yet it's...
He rolled his hands as he sought for a word.
Burning, one imagines, for revenge.
Tegan was anxious to tell him that she'd lost Nyssa, but he shushed her.
How's the victim?
He asked Gillian.
I got him to the medical room and there's an ambulance coming, but he's... Well, he's not all there, frankly.
Ah, the doctor waggled a finger. That's it precisely. When I was attacked, it attempted to steal from my consciousness, feeding, possibly to share with the rest of the hive mind. I defended myself, but our unit friend, he'd be out of practice. I suspect a lot of what we saw earlier was trauma from losing a part of himself.
He looked at the two of them.
Of course, the real question is how come a creature from an external dimension stretching through a weakened interface is here at all?
What exactly does this thing look like?
Tegan asked. Gillian half-mimed with her hands.
It's sort of spidery, but sort of invisible.
Doctor, I think I saw one earlier when I was with Nyssa. It made a sort of scratching noise.
The doctor turned to her, his face pale.
So, there's more than one of them.
Patrick was kneeling in front of Nyssa, looking up at her as she talked, half lost in memories of her family.
My father was murdered in the most terrible of ways.
Yes,
Patrick nodded furiously to himself. Nyssa continued.
I saw the man responsible. Time and time again laughing from inside a body which he now wore like a coat. Laughing with stolen eyes that once loved me.
Nyssa's fists clenched and unclenched.
And I burned with revenge.
Whereas once I'd spent sleepless nights in hope, now I spent them lost in thoughts of what I would do to him. To that murderer, if ever I had the chance.
Patrick seemed hypnotized by the young woman's flexing fingers, tears coming down his face.
Yes,
he whispered to himself.
Yes.
Nyssa surprised herself with a sudden realization. The immediacy of the memories and the feelings had, for a moment, blinded her to everything that had followed.
I would kill him.
And there was Patrick's face right in front of her.
Yes.
The doctor was pacing the room, watched by a bemused Tegan and Gillian.
Whatever those things are, they're trying to push through the fabric of reality, the gap between dimensions. They can sense us here. Not too surprising, as there's clearly a psychic ability there. But why is the gap so shallow? Some sort of void dampener, maybe.
Could it be void rebalancing?
Tegan said, surprising herself with a memory. The doctor stopped short and turned to her.
Yes, possibly.
He sounded startled.
How did you know that? It was something Nyssa said when she saw the king's crown in the play. She said it reminded her of an experiment they'd tried on track, and do you think it's connected?
The doctor looked ahead into the gloom of the artificial scene around them. He raised his eyebrows.
You know, it really would be the most extraordinary coincidence if it wasn't.
I was the same, Patrick said eagerly. Just like you. They told me my father was missing, and I hoped and hoped for him to come home. But he was a soldier, so I knew, you see, what it really meant. I knew he must have died saving others, because he was my father and he was a hero.
Nyssa reached out and touched Patrick on the shoulder.
I understand, Patrick. Really, I do. It's what I told myself, too.
Then it all went wrong.
His reply was a whiplash snarl, so savage that Nyssa took a step backward, blinking with surprise as if struck.
What happened? She asked.
Patrick swept his hands through his hair, frantically smoothing it into place. And then gradually he stood up, ramrod straight in the unmistakable attitude of Joshua.
You must come with me, miss,
he said, his voice having assumed the familiar gravitas.
The evil of this royal plot is being exposed in the throne room.
But, Patrick, you were talking.
Come along, there is no time to lose.
The doctor was tapping his chin with his rolled-up hat as he thought.
So, Nyssa said the shape reminded her of it.
And this was mounted on the crown, you say?
Tegan nodded.
Right in the middle.
He turned to Gillian.
I imagine the king's pretty central to this play of yours.
The director's sardonic humour had returned.
It is called The King of the Dead. The clue is rather in the title. And you say this is the first night. What happens at the end? The ushers will bring all the audience to the main stage, where they'll watch the king confront the plotters in the throne room. There are a couple of speeches, a death scene that needs more rehearsal, and that's it. Then everyone leaves for the night.
How many people are here tonight? Tegan asked.
612.
Over 600 people, the doctor mused distantly. All brought into close proximity to something that's attracting our creature like a moth to a flame. Oh dear.
Her slender frame was caught up amongst the masked audience members as they were ushered towards the finale. Nyssa was being pulled upstream. Now and again, from up ahead, Patrick would look back at her. Overhead, even above the hubbub of the crowd, she thought she heard a dry, scratching noise. The doctor nodded firmly to himself.
Right, first things first. Where's Nyssa?
We got separated. One of the actors, Patrick someone, he went a bit nuts. Pushed me over and made a break for it.
The doctor gave a groan.
Made a break for it? It's not cops and robbers, Tegan.
The air hostess scowled.
You want a bet? This Patrick isn't safe out, if you ask me. He was reacting to that sound like he knew what it was.
Her face brightened in remembrance.
And something else. He knew who we were. Who you were.
Did he now?
Given the date, it's not impossible.
He looked shifty for a moment.
I spent a lot of time on Earth a while back. The man we helped was a former member of UNIT. Perhaps this Patrick is connected as well. I think we should have a word.
He turned to Gillian.
Do you think you can get us to him?
The backstage area behind the pristine throne room was an array of roughly nailed supports and dusty backcloths. The space changed from real to illusion in just a few steps. As Tegan peered through the gaps in the flats, she could just about see the actors on the stage, the heaving mass of audience beyond and below them. A little further along, Patrick was also watching from backstage, Nyssa beside him. She cast an agonized look over at her friend.
What's he doing?
Tegan asked the doctor. Look at the ceiling. As Tegan obeyed, her jaw dropped open. Far above them, the flaky plaster of the ceiling was boiling with the glassy shapes of multiple creatures. Over the amplified sound effects of the King of the Dead and the voices of the actors on the other side of the scenery flats, she could still hear the noise the creatures were making. The doctor looked puzzled.
It's as if they're waiting for something.
Nyssa had also followed the doctor's gaze, and for a moment watched with scared eyes as the creatures seethed amongst themselves.
Patrick, she murmured. Patrick, come with me, it's not safe here.
But the man seemed captivated by the events beyond the scenery. Nyssa tried again.
Patrick, come with...
He turned on her in fury.
Leave me alone!
The creatures on the ceiling churned in sympathy with his rage. Nyssa's attention turned from one to the other in realization.
You're controlling those things, aren't you?
She ventured carefully.
Is it part of the revenge?
Revenge? The doctor whispered across.
It's for your father's death, isn't it, Patrick?
The actor nodded.
Even though he'd dropped the Joshua identity again, he remained upright, for once centered and calm. My father died in action. He was a unit captain. I know you know all about unit, Doctor. When I saw the TARDIS arrive this evening, I could hardly believe my luck. I did at least try to lead your companions out of danger, which is more than you ever did. Tell me what happened to him, Patrick, the Doctor encouraged. Patrick forgot about the need for silence behind the scenes and laughed bitterly.
I would if I could,
but the Brigadier couldn't even tell us, the man's own family, what had happened. Just that he'd been a hero. And so I did what any son does in those circumstances. You joined UNIT. I was doing what he'd done. Unlike him, I never seemed to climb the ranks, but that didn't matter. I was a private, being a private hero.
Private hero? Gillian questioned.
He shot her a poisonous look.
Oh, yes. You don't know about the secret wars, do you?
The battles that kept you safe in your bed from things that would terrify you, fought by people who died defending you. All those private heroes, he smirked. But that's going to change. Very soon. Tonight will be one battle UNIT won't cover up. Tonight there'll be casualties among the public as well as their protectors.
The audience here, the Doctor realised in a low voice. You'll unleash those creatures on them. And with all the subsequent publicity, UNIT will be exposed.
He's insane,
Tegan said, sounding sickened.
Now, Tegan, the Doctor soothed carefully.
It's quite a plan, Patrick. I take it you were the one who got the void dampener out of UNIT, worked it into the prop crown.
Patrick's eyes flared.
When all my father's squadron panicked and ran, when those creatures up there killed him, that was all the recovery team came back with. Locked up safe in the vault, of course, but once I'd come up with my plan, it wasn't hard to steal.
Nyssa tried to appeal to him. Patrick, please, I've told you this isn't the way.
Oh, I don't think Patrick's got much of a say in this, the Doctor said, casting a glance at the spider-like shapes above them. Have you, Patrick? The actor looked back at him blankly.
You see, I spent some time with UNIT in those days. Can't say I remember this particular case, but I wasn't always there. But I did create the security systems for their vault. And while Patrick here might have bypassed some of them, I'd love to know how he got past the brain print lock I built.
Patrick?
I just got through.
Oh, I don't think so. A junior soldier like you?
Then how?
Tegan asked. Think about it. The creatures killed his father. We know they extract parts of the consciousness and we know they have a hive mind.
Nyssa's eyes widened.
All the consciousness they took could be communicated across the hive mind.
Exactly.
Patrick didn't open that vault. His father did. The Doctor moved closer to Patrick.
Your father never really went away, did he?
Living on through the hive mind, he's been just a whisper away your whole life. Guiding you to the right place. That little voice in your head urging you on, urging you to revenge.
That's horrible,
Gillian said, looking at Patrick as if seeing him for the first time. At first, Patrick began to shrink away under their gaze. But then he came back, his eyes blazing.
So? We all have those voices. What's the difference between conscious and something else if they want the same thing?
Nyssa was shaking her head.
Patrick, no. That's not how it should be.
Patrick's eyes closed and his fingers flexed.
Doctor, look!
They followed Tegan's gaze. The scuttling shapes on the ceiling were starting to move down the walls.
Patrick!
The actor opened his eyes again at Nyssa's call and the creature's progress halted. He noticed her eyes glistening as she went on.
You asked me about revenge, but I didn't finish telling you. The man who killed my father. Yes, there was a time I wanted to murder him. So much. You and I both know what that feels like.
Nyssa, the Doctor said in a tiny, sad voice.
But you see, I had to forgive him.
Forgive him?
Patrick's face twisted with disgust.
Yes. Not for what it would do for the murderer, but what it would do for me.
Nyssa took his hand.
Patrick, a lot of people will die today without your help. You can keep them safe, even if they don't know about it. You will know you were a hero, and that's all that matters.
Gillian sidled up to the Doctor.
I could trigger the fire alarm, she whispered. Start clearing the building.
There'd be a stampede, the Doctor replied. He seemed distressed as he watched Nyssa and Patrick.
Besides, I'm sorry to say, I think Nyssa knows what she's doing.
The actor stared at the tiny hand in his.
Then he closed his eyes and Tegan watched as the creatures began to move again. On the other side of the stage set, the actors were continuing the play. Surely the scratching noise would be heard by the audience soon. Patrick was talking in a low, confidential voice to Nyssa.
The people who killed my father are out there. The men in his battalion who ran away while he stayed and fought. I sent them tickets for the show. I brought them here for this.
Nyssa nodded. Don't listen to those voices, Patrick. Listen to yours. Think. The men out there were scared. They weren't evil. When they knew what needed to be done, they couldn't do it. But your father could, and so can you.
The actor's shoulders shook with a silent sob. The creatures were coming down the walls, down ropes, down scaffolding. Over the music on the other side of the scenery, their dry whisper grew louder.
Screech, 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 screech!
What's happening?
Gillian asked the doctor.
There seems to be a difference of opinion. The hive mind isn't listening to Patrick anymore, which could be good news.
Patrick,
Nyssa insisted.
You have to help us.
Patrick's unscripted appearance through the door of the throne room turned the heads of audience and actors alike.
This has to stop,
he bellowed in character once again. The king swung round, a gun in his hand. There were two bodies on the floor trying their hardest to stay dead.
Joshua, what is the meaning of this?
Patrick moved up to the king.
Pardon me, your majesty.
He took the crown from his head and turned with it to the wrapped, mask-wearing audience. The retired unit soldiers would be there somewhere.
You all look so alike,
Patrick told the silent faces.
But I suppose that's the point of this.
He placed the crown on the floor.
And so, I forgive you,
he shouted painfully, tears running down his face. The heel of his shoe crunched down brutally. Gillian watched as the creatures, now just inches from their heads, abruptly vanished. The whispering clatter of their movement was replaced by the slow applause of a mystified audience. As she squinted through the scenery flats, she saw the puzzled actors exchanging glances.
Just go with it,
she hissed promptly into their silence. She turned back to the others with a sudden chuckle.
I hate to think what the reviewers will make of this one.
But she found just an empty space behind her. With the entire audience now attending the finale, the three travellers made their way back towards the TARDIS with ease through empty rooms and corridors.
Will Patrick be all right, Doctor?
Asked Nyssa.
Ah, well, the void dampener had been active ever since that original attack, keeping a connection open between dimensions. That's closed now. I think your friend has a chance to live his own life at last, free of his father's malicious influence. It's up to him what he does with it.
Tegan spoke up.
What about you, Nyssa? Those things you said back there about the way you felt.
Nyssa felt the eyes of both her friends upon her.
That was a long time ago. I was younger then, angry, lost. My father still guides me, almost as Patrick's did. But I am more fortunate, for my father was a hero.
The King of the Dead by Ian Atkins was read by Sarah Sutton and is a Big Finish production.